Morning. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, and go ahead and stand for reading of God's Word. If you're visiting with us, I'm Mark Miller, one of the pastors here at Holy Cross. Welcome. We're really glad that you're here. Matthew 10, we'll read 26 through 33. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the hearing and the preaching of his word. Lord, your word is pure, as silver that has been refined in the fire. We pray that you would purify us from your word, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds according to your spirit, that we may hear your word, that we may know it, and we may go forth and glorify in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I hope you read the devotional Thursday. It was over the same passage from Luke, though, from parallel passage. And what Chelsea has said in two paragraphs, I have nine pages. So, but as we look at this passage, it reminds me of a time when Nora was about 1.5 or 2. She'd wake up in the middle of the night and she'd cry and she'd call out for me. And almost immediately as I would just walk into the room, or if I'd pick her up, she would fall back asleep. And she knew because I was there, everything was going to be okay. And maybe you've had the same experience with your children, or you can remember even as a child of yourself, is when you were afraid, and when mom or dad showed up, it was okay. You knew that they were in control and that everything was going to be all right. On this passage, Jesus is assuring his disciples to not be afraid as he is sending them out on mission. Looking at chapter 10, just a little bit in the background of it, he is sending out the 12 disciples to go to heal the sick and to preach his word. And he assures them as they go out that they're going to face persecution. We know that this is true as you look at verses 24 and 25 just above this passage, that he says that not one is above the master. The servant is not above the master. So what, as Jesus himself experiences suffering and persecution and even death, we shouldn't expect otherwise. As he says, even those of the house will be maligned. They called him Beelzebub. This wasn't a term of endearment. It's Lord of the Flies. So we, as followers of him, shouldn't expect otherwise. So he assures them of the persecution that will come. And we know from church history that, all the disciples would be persecuted and killed for their faith, except for John, who died of old age. Look then, in this passage, he assures us three times he tells us, do not fear. That we are not to fear man, we are not to fear death, and we are not to fear because of his loving care for us. So look then at verses 26 and 27 as he assures us that we are not to fear man. For it says, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. We do not have to fear man because there's nothing that will not be hidden. Every misdeed that will be against us, he will vindicate on his return. There's nothing that has happened that is going to go uncovered by him. Justice will take place, if not in this life, when Christ returns. You know, we don't like to be patient. You know, we don't necessarily want to wait to be vindicated on his return. But what he's saying is, you know, I got this. It's not going to go unnoticed. You don't have to worry. You will be vindicated. And vengeance is the Lord's. We don't have to take matters then into our own hands. And we're reminded that this doesn't go unnoticed because of our union with Christ. We're so unified with him. What happens to us happens to him. Is this not what the Apostle Paul, we see when he was Saul, as he was going on the road when the risen Lord appeared to him? What did he say? Did he say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" What does he say to him? He says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." So as believers, what happens to us is also happening to him. So we can take comfort in knowing that any wrongdoing to us is not going to go apart from justice. So it means for us that we will receive glorification. And for those who do wrong, who harm us, do evil against us, there will be judgment for the persecutor. So we can go forth in our everyday mission, not fearing man, because the Lord will vindicate any wrong that is done to his people. He then goes on to say, because we don't have to fear man, that we must speak in the light. We must speak from the rooftops what we have been taught, what we have learned in him. So the disciples then had no excuse to not go forward on their mission. They were to proclaim what they had been taught. Now, at this point, their knowledge was somewhat limited. You know, they knew that he was the Messiah, and they knew at this point that they were to speak of his kingdom, that the Messiah has come. They didn't have a full understanding yet of his death and resurrection and what that would mean. So that tells us that to go out and to proclaim what we have been taught, you don't have to be a theologian. You know, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know the scripture inside out to keep you from going. They had a limited knowledge at this point, and what they were to go and teach is what they have learned of Christ. And we now have the fullness of God's word. We have the fullness of the gospel, and we can go out and tell of him what we have learned of him in his word. We are to tell others that, you know, we are fallen, that we have fallen from the glory of God, that we have all sinned in our need of a Savior. We are to go forth then with the message that because of his great love for us, that he sent his Son to die for us, to live an obedient life on our behalf, to live that perfect life before the Father that we cannot do, and then to take our punishment for that sin on the cross in our place. And that he rose again on the third day and is now seated with the Father in glory. You know, and if we repent and believe in Christ, then we will have eternal life in him. This is the message of the gospel that we find in his word, that we have been taught, then that we are to take forth to others. You know, and we're not to be obnoxious with this. You know, it's not, "Hey, my name's Frank. Have you heard of Jesus?" You know, it's as we build relationships with those in our lives and we come in contact with those in our workplace, in the park, in the bar. You know, it's as we build relationships then that through the living of our lives that we start to tell others of what we have taught. We are to tell others of what we have learned of Christ. You know, and I pray that your love for Christ is so deep that you can't hold this back. You know, that it comes out as you begin to build relationships with others that you have in contact with. You know, and I think sometimes we think, "But I don't have a missions field. I don't come in contact with a lot of non-Christians," especially maybe for mothers who stay at home. Our first mission field is our homes. We have been given, those who are parents, children who are to be taught of the Lord. You're to teach him of his grace and of his love for us. So the first place is in the home, and then as we go out into the world. Then look at verse 28 as he gives us the second reason why we are not to fear. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yet we can be bold as we go out on everyday mission because we do not have to fear death. Jesus is saying, the worst they can do to you is kill you. You know, we often see death as pretty bad, which it is. It is not to, you know, deny that death is horrible and painful. But Jesus is saying, this is the worst they can do to you. The worst that you can do is die. And for those who love the Lord, to be separated from the body is to be in his presence. What greater joy is there than that, than to be with the Lord? So he's telling us that the worst that can happen to you is they kill you. We don't have to fear those who may persecute us because our life is hidden in him. They can only kill the body, but not the soul. And the martyrs of old knew this. You know, this is why they are able to go to be burned as a stake without having to be tied to it. You know, they went forth in joy singing his praises because they knew the joy of serving a risen Lord. That if we're united in a death like his, we don't have to fear death ourselves because we also will be resurrected with him. He then goes on to say, in contrast, that to not fear death and do not fear men, but then we are to have a fear instead of the Lord. We are not to fear man who can accomplish very little to us. And there's a proper fear of God, and there's an improper fear of God. You know, there's a proper fear of the Lord that looks at him in reverence and awe. You know, as a child, we know this reverence of those who have had loving parents, who love them and that we seek to obey them out of reverence for them. We obey because we love them and respect them and honor them. And then there's the fear of a child who obeys because they fear out of punishment, that they're going to be disciplined. So they fear out of looking for approval. You know, and the latter causes us to have a fear of God that is misguided. It only allows us to see him as, you know, a grumpy old man who is just looking to punish us and send us to hell so we obey, hoping that we are worthy of getting into heaven. But there's a proper fear here that we see. And John, in his epistle in 1 John, reminds us that perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, he tells us. So God's love is perfect, and it drives out fear. And we are being perfected in this love. And if we realize this great love that he has for us, it causes us to not fear man, but to revere him and to put him in awe. And those who then love him no longer then are able to have fear of death and being cast into hell, but we can have a fear of our Lord that drives us forward in service, that drives us forward not out of fear that shrinks us back, but helps us to go out and love our neighbor properly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during the reign of Hitler. He opposed him. And because he opposed him and helped Jews to escape, he was imprisoned and eventually executed. And from prison, he wrote of such a reverent fear. He says, "Those who are still afraid of man have no fear of God. And those who have fear of God have ceased to be afraid of men." So it is this reverent fear of God that allows us not to shrink back, but we can go forward in loving our neighbors. Look then at verse 29. He tells us of this third reason why we can be bold in our mission, that we do not have to fear. Verse 29, Jesus tells us, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows." We can go forth in knowing God's great loving care for us. There's three things he reminds us of in this. And the first is of his sovereign care for us. As we see that he cares for many sparrows that are sold for just a penny, even they do not fall to the ground apart from the sovereign care of God. So we see that he is in control of all things. We do not have to fear because even the smallest things he is in control of. So nothing in our life is going to happen to us. Nothing is going to separate us and bring us outside of his loving control of our lives. Nothing anyone can do to us will separate us from his will. And the second thing we see here is that he knows us intimately. He cares for us greatly in that he knows the numbers on our head. He knows us inside and out. He knows us personally. You know, there's no one in this room I know more intimately than my wife. I have no idea how many hairs are on the top of her head. I don't even know how many hairs are on top of eyelids, which most of them has fallen out. He knows us intimately. He knows what we need. Because he knows us so personally, he knows our wants and our needs, and his grace is sufficient for every one of them. And the third thing we see here is that we can go forth in boldness because we are precious to him. He tells us that we are more valuable than many sparrows. We have been created in his image. He has created us with dignity. And we can rest in knowing that we are more valuable. He cares for us in ways that he does not care for the rest of his creation. We are his. He takes very special care of us because by creation and through redemption, we are his very own. We are of great value to him. And in knowing this, he then reminds us again that we then have no excuse to go forth. Look at verse 23, or 32 and 33. For he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Fearlessly then, we can go forth acknowledging him before others in our lives. When we confess Christ as our Savior, this isn't a one-time act. We continually do this throughout our whole life. We continually confess him before others in our daily lives and how we live and how we speak. You know, if not, then he gives us the warning that there's no true confession in us and that we have actually denied him before others. And he assures us if we deny him, he denies us before his Father. But he says that if we confess him, that he confesses us before the Father. This means that he is mediating for us, that he is constantly pleading for us in our needs before the Father, that he is pleading and he claims us as his own, and he continues to plead our cause before the Father. And as we confess him for others, we are to do the same as he does for us. We are to continue to claim him as our own and to plead his cause of redemption before others. But how do we know this is all true? You know, how are we assured of this? We know this is true because he died for you. His Father so greatly loves us and cares for us that he went to the cross for us. He gave his life in exchange of ours. So we can know this is true because of his great love that he showed for us on the cross. We are assured of this in his death for us. And his resurrection from the dead guarantees that we have a hope. It guarantees that we can go forth in boldness knowing that our life is secure in him. You know, as he so greatly loving cares for us, nothing is going to separate us from that love. We can be assured of that. No one can take your worth and your value that we find in him. No one is able then to take your hope or your status before him. Nothing will separate us from Christ as we are secured in him and have been seated with him in the heavenly realms. So then, this then causes us to be able to go forth in boldness. When we are afraid, we are then to remember of his great love for us. We do not have to fear men because he will vindicate us. And we do not have to fear death because the worst that can happen is they kill you. That your life is hidden in Christ's resurrection. That we share in the resurrection like his. So we do not have to fear death. And we can go forth in boldness knowing of his loving care for us. So you can be bold then in going out and standing. Let's go forth in sharing Christ's love. And do not fear as we go forth remembering his great love for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we do not have to fear. That we are precious to you. That you know us intimately and that you are in control of all things. That we can go forth sharing of your great love for us. The great love that you went to the cross to die for our sins. And that in rising again from the dead that we have a sure hope. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go forth in boldness, remembering your great love and care for us, that we may not fear, that we may go forth in mission. Lord, thank you for the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.